Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
One bleeds red. One bleeds blue. Two friends. One heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Say hi! Let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need the same music. No one man should have all that power. The clock ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
We're going to get back into the flow after three long weeks without Red versus Blue. We are back. Hello again and welcome everybody to Red versus Blue High Stakes Fantasy Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, Team Legacy in the world of high stakes fantasy football, and usually I'm joined by the Big Blue co-host himself from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Been enjoying the festivities at the Breeders' Cup in Louisville, Kentucky. Put it on the bucket list. If the Super Bowl here in Indianapolis, there's a lot going on here in the Midwest right now. We are going to be joined by two additional hosts this evening. Alex Kaganovsky, co-owner of the Fantasy Football Players Championship and the Football Guys Players Championship, as well as John Duckworth from the BFD Dynasty Show. So it should be fun. We're going to have a kind of a point-counterpoint kind of thing going on. It's week nine, guys. It's the time when you're either in two situations. Here it is. Let's say three. You're either completely out of it and you're ready to play some of these weekly games, or you're just looking forward to next season and you're already getting moving on to doing chores around the house on Sundays. You're either middle of the pack and kind of stalking, has potential. You've seen a little bit and you haven't given up yet, so you really need to make the crucial lineup decision this week. You cannot leave any points on the bench, right? Or you're at the top of the pack and you're watching as teams kind of look up at you, and you're either really close to the competition, or maybe you've even stretched out. But here's the thing, it's week nine, a bad week or two, and you could be right back in the middle of things. So, you know, this is the time not to get cocky. Make sure you're preparing. Make sure you're looking at every injury report, every participation chart you possibly can. And that's what we're going to try to bring you tonight on Red versus Blue. 347-324-5404 is the number. The chat room, the crew at Red versus Blue is back. And some of the best names in the world of high-stakes fantasy football are with you tonight. And, look, throw a name out, you'll get a good opinion on whether or not you should start your guy this week or not. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through every single game in the NFL in this 1 hour, 56 minutes remaining. And there's a lot of players that are really on the fence this week of should they go in your lineup or shouldn't they, and that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to go ahead and bring on my guests this evening, Alex Kaganovsky and John Duckworth. Let me make sure I have Alex with us. Are you, can you hear us, Alex?
I'm here, Scott.
What's up, my man? And then we've got Johnny D. John Duckworth. Can you hear us, buddy?
Absolutely.
All right. I like the enthusiasm from the Ducky, man. Hey, let's get that story out of the way for everybody. We'll take a quick minute here. Johnny, you've got you have a little thing going on online. You're doing some kind of a contest, and somehow or another, you end up with tickets to the Super Bowl. Tell us real quickly, in a minute or less, what happened there.
Just a really nutty thing. Verizon Wireless does a little live stream trivia contest every week to win tickets to the Super Bowl as the grand prize each day. They give away four each time. They put out little hints on their Facebook page. So I'll go to the Facebook page. The hint for the final thing is just the word two bombs. And through racking my brain, I came up with the possibility that Lee Evans could be an answer to that question from a game he had against my Texans a few years back where he caught a couple bombs, 83 yards apiece in the first quarter. So I go to the game. It's 9 o'clock. It's time to launch the stream, and I can never get the stream to work properly. I'm trying switching between browsers, et cetera, and all I'm getting is frozen pictures and that little clock that's spinning as the streaming video is supposed to load. And I get little pictures occasionally. And I had done the game the week before, so I know about when we're going to get around to the final question, but not when. And I'm still getting nothing, and I'm frustrated. And so I just type in Lee Evans and hit go about four different times around that time period. Pretty much forget about it. Never do get the stream that night. And 2 days later, got a call from them. I won tickets to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, winning a trivia contest is one thing. Winning it without ever hearing the question is a pretty unique deal. And so I feel pretty lucky and very happy to be coming to Indy to see you in February.
We're going to tailgate, my man. We will tailgate for sure. Alex, I don't know. Does that kind of stuff ever happen to you? I mean, Super Bowl tickets on an online contest? Look, nothing like that ever happens to me. Alex, what about you?
I won a T-shirt once. well, you know, I tell you, I spoke to John about this, and I told him I think only a fantasy football diehard could have ever gotten that answer right. And you know, because of, I remember, I certainly don't claim, I didn't claim that I could have gotten it right myself, but when he kind of, you know, when he reminded me J.P. Lossman and Lee Evans, I remember that. I remember that quarter, that first quarter of the game when he caught those 83-yard bombs, two of them. And I'm like, you know, I told you, I'm like, you know, only a fantasy football diehard could get that question right.
Well, I tell you what, congratulations, Johnny. We will be in Indianapolis for the Super Bowl this year. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to come to town, and who knows against who in the AFC. But, look, I live in Indy. I've got to go to the Super Bowl. I don't care. I have to at least tailgate. If my Jets are there, I'm definitely going. That's kind of my rule of thumb here. If the Jets are in it, I'll be there. If not, I'm going to be tailgating and enjoying the festivities. They're going to do it up big time. If you go to the Red versus Blue page, you'll see a link to the city of Indianapolis, and I tell you what, it's just going to be an exciting time to be here. They've got a lot planned. Look, it's a winter climate, winter environment, but it's supposed to be really, really nice. Everything's within walking distance, everything you could possibly imagine, and they've got this whole heated downtown planned with overhead protection. We'll see how it all works out, so pretty exciting. And then Alex, I guess in a couple of years, we've got a Super Bowl up in your neck of the woods. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. These outdoor stadiums, man, I can't believe they're happening here. But Indianapolis, they've got the roof. They'll close it, and it won't be anything during the game, which is why the game in New York is so exciting to possibly see, you know, a couple inches of snow on the ground during the Super Bowl. That's going to be insane. So looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and move right on. We're up in the Northeast. We're talking about Buffalo and the Jets to get us started. There's not a better game to get us started at this week. The surprising Buffalo Bills. The big win against New England kind of said they're here to play. This is a 1 o'clock game, and I'm looking at a lot of names here, guys, that are fantasy relevant to maybe a who-do-I-start decision. So let's start with Fitzpatrick. The Jets haven't allowed multiple touchdowns to any opposing quarterback since week one, and that includes, look, matchups against New England, Tom Brady, Chargers, Rivers, and Flacco. So what do you think about Fitzpatrick in the lineup this week, or what do you think about those receiving options? Alex, we'll start with you.
Well, it always depends on what your options are, obviously. But, you know, in my opinion, the only problem here is clearly Stevie Johnson, because we see what happens to wide receivers like him. He is actually kind of the worst candidate, really, to go up against Revis. You know, where a guy like maybe Brandon Marshall, we've seen him have some success because, I mean, Brandon is a big, strong guy, and he could get up, you know, reach out and make those plays. Stevie Johnson is more, you know, like your average size, 6 foot, 205. You know, Revis is really going to overpower him. So, you know, if he covers him the whole game, that is, you know, we're not exactly sure if that will happen, but we're assuming. So that's the only one I would be concerned with. Everyone else, you obviously start if you, as usual, including Fitzpatrick.
Johnny, I'm going to ask you this, because with Stephen Johnson, you've got him all year. This year, Revis and the New York secondary, they're playing at a high level. They've allowed only one receiver to score through the air since week one. Revis versus Stephen Johnson, he's on the island, so Johnson does have four touchdowns on the season, but only one since week three. What do you do if you're a Stephen Johnson owner?
You know, I agree with what Alex says. He, Stevie Johnson, and I've got him in a fairly important league, and he's a difficult start this week, but a lot of times when you're dealing with buys and things, he may be better than your wide receiver 4, 5, or 6, which you may be looking at starting because of the buy. So depending on what you have on the bench, if you've got some other guys that you can start ahead of him, he's a guy that I feel – is going to be best served on your bench, but you may not have that option. You know, Fitzpatrick, chances are if you've got Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, you've been running him out there as a number one quarterback a lot of weeks, but you probably didn't draft him as your number one quarterback. And you've got somebody else on your bench who also may serve you a little bit better this week. You know, I feel a little bit more comfortable with David Nelson and Roosevelt, and I think the game sets up really well for Freddie Jackson.
And Donald Jones is back in the lineup. I did see that he got picked up quite a bit in all the leagues. On the other side of the ball, well first of all, I've got looks like Syracuse Slappers, John in the chat room. I think Chandler could be a sneaky play. I will say this: the Jets have also allowed only one tight end to score a touchdown, which was Antonio Gates in Week 7. So not sure I like Chandler either. Unless it's just a must start. I mean, I would try just about anybody over him this week just because of that Jets D. Alex, we talked briefly before the show. I know you don't want to bring it up, but Mark Sanchez, he's kind of a sneaky quarterback. The Bills have allowed four quarterbacks to reach at least 20 fantasy points in the last 6 games. Sanchez had 18 fantasy points at Buffalo last year, and he's just kind of doing his thing. He's pretty consistent except for that one Baltimore game.
Yeah, Sanchez should definitely be the highest scoring waiver wire quarterback this week, and that's where he belongs, on a waiver wire. And if you have him as your backup, you should drop him, because your starter should be starting, and you should use that spot for a position player to solidify your depth. So there you have it.
Ducky, I hear a little aggression there against my Jets, man. It's like a Giants fan talking and coming out here. You feel that?
You know, I think what you're listening to there is more of somebody that knows what they're talking about. Quite proud.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, that I understand that. That was fireman Ed at the controls. Not a problem. But,
all right, let's move on, gang. Let's move on, gentlemen. Seattle versus Dallas. We've got a lot of games here. It's quarter after. Seattle versus Dallas. I see a lot of names. Alex, I see Obamanu here. That's a name that you kind of like. Sidney Rice. This is a Dallas game that they've got to be a little ticked off after, pretty angry and embarrassed by what happened to the Eagles last week. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
What's going to happen is you know, I'm sure they'll probably beat the hell out of Seattle, because Seattle's really not a good road team, and you know, like you said, Dallas is pretty pissed off. But in the end, it looks like Tavares is becoming a pretty decent option, and has really learned to get the ball in the air, which is pretty amazing, because, I mean, he was just horrendous in Green Bay passing the ball. So, you know, Obamanu, the reason why I like him, Mike Williams, I don't know what's going on. They claim it's injury-related, but I have a feeling he's being deactivated simply because of the lack of performance or whatever the case may be. You know, he got that little contract last year. It wasn't big, but it was big enough, you know, for him to kind of come back to the NFL and get paid and you know, a la Chris Johnson, you know, kind of, you know, sit back and relax. So I think that's what he's doing, Mike Williams. And Obamanu, I think, is taking over as the number two wide receiver. So, I would feel comfortable starting him and Rice.
You got to get Sidney Rice into the lineup after 14 targets last week, 7 for 102. He also has that 8 for 109 game against Arizona. Hasn't done much else since that. And then you've got this Marshawn Lynch guy, Johnny. If you've got him, you've got him because, you know, you drafted him as a kind of a flex option. And Dallas hasn't allowed much on the ground. 3 running backs to score touchdowns. Lynch just 2 games that he's really looked decent, and he's not doing much. He's only had 1 touchdown in the past 5 road games. So is Lynch a guy that only in a desperation play you have to, I mean, Lynch or Ogbonnaya, what would you do there?
Oh, I play Ogbonnaya. Ogbonnaya is going to catch passes. Lynch is a flex option only 8 games a year, and those are the 8 home games. Seattle's a horrible road team, and Lynch is not a very talented player. He's a flex option at home if they have a chance to win, if they have a chance to play him a little bit in a 4-minute offense at the end of the game. Maybe he has a chance to get in the end zone. But, you know, this game in Dallas, you should be looking at garbage time production from about midway through the second quarter out of Tavares and some receivers. I wouldn't start Lynch unless it was an absolute necessity this week.
Yeah, and you've got to start all the Cowboys, DeMarco, Dez, Austin, Witten, Romo, all those guys get a start. Sidney Rice is getting a start. Obamanu, if you're in a pinch for a flex, I think you go ahead and trust him. He did get his chance last week, and he made the most of it. But Lynch, I agree, it's just one of those guys that just hasn't been impressive. I mean, luckily got a touchdown last week. We do have a question in the chat room. Get Paddled says, this is ugly. So, Alex, I'll turn this one over to you here we go. Ringer, Decker, or Brinkley as his bye week flex? Ringer, Decker, or Brinkley? That seems pretty easy to me.
Well, I think you eliminate Christie Brinkley there. You just kind of flip the coin on the first two guys. If you want to take a chance on Ringer, you know, go right ahead. I mean, you know, I don't know if last week is going to wake up Chris Johnson or not. I'm betting they won't. But Decker, I'm concerned with, you know. So I think I go with Ringer.
Stucky, Tennessee is a team here. They might actually be in the playoffs. We're looking at a team that actually might be in the playoffs with a soft division.
No, you're not. Stop it.
If they can keep going and doing what they're doing, and Houston has all these injuries, they haven't got Andre back. They still look good, but I know you're a Houston fan. But
did you happen to see the game where they played each other very recently in Tennessee? Tennessee's not a playoff team. They're a bad team.
They're winning games without 2 of their best players, Kenny Britt, Chris Johnson, not doing much at all. So how are they doing it? They're doing it with defense and good, sound quarterback play from Matt Hasselbeck.
They've done as well as they can do under the circumstances. But they're an 8-8 football team. You know, there's too many other good teams in the AFC for them to get in the playoffs. They're not winning the division, and their record's not going to be good enough to get into the as a wild card.
Well, they have a good test. They're 4-3 right now, a half a game behind the Texans, who should win against Cleveland. Tennessee has to play Cincinnati, so let's move to that game. Alex, you've been on this defense since I think before anybody really started talking about them. They haven't allowed multiple touchdowns to an opposing quarterback in their past 5 games, and no quarterback has reached 20 fantasy points. So Hasselbeck, a no-brainer. Do you sit in this week, even if you have other options that don't look as attractive. What do you do there?
Well, Hasselbeck, he did not play this week. He just, you know, he hasn't been the same quarterback from the first few weeks. Whether he, you know, I mean, he is 35 years old or something like close to that. So, you know, maybe his arm's getting tired. Maybe he's just, you know, kind of reverting back to where he was the last few years in Seattle. But, you know, the resurrection clearly has stopped for the moment. And Cincinnati, the reason why I like them is, I mean, they were a good NFL defense. And sooner or later, you know, early in the year, it looked like they were going to be a good NFL defense. And sooner or later, when you take a good NFL defense and put it up against bad offenses, you know, good matchups for the defense, they're going to score some fantasy points. And that's why I was on them a few weeks back. And so I'm pretty sure they're going to continue this week too.
A.J. Green's an obvious must-start. Cedric Benson, you get him back into the lineup. Jared Cook is a guy, if you're in an emergency situation at tight end, he's only got two games with more than four targets, so it's not a nice situation there. And the Bengals, who've just allowed two receivers to score touchdowns all year, I don't think you can start Nate Washington or Damian Williams either. So, Ducky, let's move on. I know you're not on the Titans this year, so let's move on to this game here. It's your Houston Texans. You've got Walter, you've got Jacoby. I don't know how that's going to shake up with Joe Hayden, but every time I look at starting Walter or Jacoby in these leagues, I see Cleveland on there, first, number one versus wide receivers. What do you do with Walter if you're used to kind of throwing him in as a flex spot?
Well, I've been throwing Walter in on the flex spot, and I'm going to continue to throw him in. Hayden, I would think, is not on Walter. Whoever Hayden's on, it will impact, obviously. But, I mean, you've got good options on the Texans with, obviously, Foster, Owen Daniels. And Schaub has played surprisingly well since Andre's gone out. So you have some options there. I think that Walter is a flex option as a number three/number four receiver. Who, you know, you hope you get in the end zone, but if not, you're still probably going to get, you know, 5 for 70 and end up with 12 points. He's not going to hang a bagel on you.
Alex, we're going to turn Obanaya over to you. For some reason, there's a lot of excitement and buzz about this guy. We've only seen 14 carries for Cleveland, 52 yards, not even 4 yards a carry. And we've seen a little bit of a reception game out of him. But that preseason against Houston is kind of what made us take a second look at this guy. He went for a lot of money in a lot of leagues this week.
Well, he's a three-down running back, or it seems to be. You know, he seems to be a three-down running back. If they give him the rushes, they certainly give him enough receptions, and he catches the ball. So, I mean, how often can you get a three-down running back on a waiver wire? Even if he's you know, a practice squad player, you know, he still gives you a chance at, you know, 15 points. So 15 points this time of the year in a week with so many injury issues and bye week issues, he's worth every penny that you spend on him if he ends up giving you those points. So, I'm, as you know, Scott, I like the guy. And as far as Kevin Walter goes, look, you know, if you're expecting 20 points from him, he's not going to give you 20 points, whether it's against Hayden or not Hayden. So, you know, if you're putting him in the lineup and you'll be happy with 10, then put him in the lineup. And, you know, maybe he'll surprise you and score a touchdown.
He really looked like a 4 for 57 kind of guy this week. And I don't know. You got Watson on the other side of the ball. You really don't have much else to talk about on the Cleveland side. I mean, we don't know what's wrong with Colt McCoy. He's just looked absolutely terrible. I don't expect that to improve against Houston, especially on the road. So let's move on to the other 1 o'clock game, Atlanta against Indianapolis. Atlanta comes to Indy, where usually this would be a very high-profile game. This year it's just a total clunker. It's a dud. On the Colts side of the ball, you got Painter. You got all those receivers and Dallas Clark. You can't start hardly any of those guys unless it's Wayne, maybe. Maybe Garcon. Then you've got the running game, Adai. I guess they gave him Friday off. He still has the hammy issues and knee issues, and you don't know who's going to get the ball there. So you're only in a desperate situation playing Donald Brown or DeLone Carter. But the guy that I look at here, Ducky, that really is exciting to me to watch in this game I mean, Matt Ryan is, of course, but it's Julio Jones. I mean, he's coming back, and if we remember, it's been a while, but prior to getting hurt in Week 5 against Green Bay, he posted back-to-back games with at least 6 catches for 115 yards. It's 17 catches for 242 over that span. He's looking for his first touchdown this week against the Colts. You've got to put Julio in the lineup, right?
I don't think you start him with total confidence. I don't think you start anybody their first week back after a fairly severe hamstring pull with total confidence. He's had a couple weeks off plus the bye to get better, but you don't know what happens the first time he gets out there on that field and totally opens it up. But, yeah, I mean, Julio Jones, there's got to be a lot of good plays on the Falcons' side of the ball. Julio Jones, obviously, Roddy White's a good play. Gonzalez is a decent play. And against the run defense that we've seen against the Colts, you've got to say that even Michael Turner, as down as I've been on him, is a good play. He has to score touchdowns to really justify his existence, but you got to think he's got a pretty good shot of putting the ball in the end zone once or twice.
Julio, Roddy, Gonzo, all to me must starts. Michael Turner, King of Queens here. Everybody knows King of Queens. He's saying Jacquizz is a sneaky start. And again, if you get up on the Colts by 30 points or so, which could happen. I mean, let's face it, you never know about this team. You don't know which team's going to show up. Do they have any pride left in them at all? It could get out of hand pretty quick. Other than that, again, the Colts, you don't have much to hang your hats on. Miami versus Kansas City actually turned out to be a better Chiefs team than I thought we had after we saw the total annihilation in week one that they suffered. And I'm looking at this game on both sides of the ball. You've got two teams that really – one is going in one direction, the other's going in the other. There's nothing I really like about Miami at all. I can't even start Brandon Marshall with confidence. Now, you got to throw him in there in a PPR league. But Daniel Thomas, Reggie Bush, you don't know what's going to go on there. And then on the Chiefs side, Castle. What can you say? He's got an amazing matchup this week. He's allowed every opposing quarterback, Miami that is, to pass for multiple touchdowns or throw for 300 yards. So when you're playing against Miami, you got to get the quarterback in there. And Castle should keep that streak alive at home. He's got a new toy, Jonathan Baldwin. You've got Breston and Bo. If Cam Newton and you usually have Matt Stafford in there, if those guys are on bye, Alex, Matt Castle looks like a pretty good start.
Yeah, I have three teams this year that I own and manage. And on the two big ones, I don't have any Dolphin and any Chief players. Thank God. On the third one, that's kind of not that important. I do have Castle starting this week, and I own Bo there as well. I picked up Castle off the waiver wire. That's really the extent of my knowledge of both of those teams. I make an effort not to follow either one, not to pay attention to either one. I think Kansas last week's game against San Diego is about the most I saw out of Kansas City. And the Giants game against Miami is the most I saw out of Miami. So that's about it.
King of Queens, Jonathan Baldwin is a hot commodity in free agent bidding this week, and that's for sure, Ducky. Baldwin looked really good. You're a dynasty guy. Give us the dynasty spin on this guy. Is this a guy that you should be going after before it gets too hot? One more hot game, and people are going to be holding.
He's a guy that I think the people that were holding were waiting to see something, and they've already seen something now. So he's already at the point where he would be hard to pry loose from somebody. But sure, he certainly looked the part in going and getting the football, and you like that. And, you're right about Castle. I think I saw something where I think 14.4 fantasy points is the least amount of fantasy points the Dolphins defense have given up to an opposing quarterback. Bo you can start. So there's a couple of people on that Kansas City side of the ball. Baldwin's certainly not anybody that I'm looking to start at this point, but he's certainly somebody that you can watch out about. I mean, all the other pieces are nothing but bye week pieces. The Baldwins, the Jackie battles, and, you know, whatever's on Miami's side of the ball. I mean, I've railed for weeks on my show about the incredibly poor use of Thomas and Lex Hilliard and Reggie Bush, and what's going on in Miami is an absolute comedy of errors, and it's just not worth paying any more attention to.
Well, Jackie Battle is an interesting name that you bring up, and since Alex, you're not on the Chiefs, but two out of the last three games, you know, he's got your respectable points, 16 against the Colts, 8 against Oakland, so it wasn't a total nothing. That was on 76-yard rushing, and then 13 in a tough San Diego game. He got the touchdown and had 70 yards rushing, so against Miami, I want to say to pass myself, you know, should I put Jackie Battle in the lineup, because he has actually not, you know, bailed out a lineup here or there, you know, as an okay flex. And I look at the Dolphins, and one stat that sticks out to me, they've only allowed three running backs to reach double digits. Ben Tate, one of them, and they gave up more than 100 yards to him. But Battle, he's kind of one of those guys that he has kind of performed, and we're kind of watching, saying, is he going to be able to make it through this stretch? Just an incredibly tough stretch of games coming up for the Chiefs. I mean, if you look at this schedule, guys, week 11, New England, Pittsburgh, at Chicago, at the Jets, Green Bay, and finishing up with Oakland. I see that team falling apart, and probably the Chargers taking a division. But thumbs up or thumbs down for Baldwin or for Battle, Ducky? You put him in as an outside flex this week, or you keep him on the bench?
You know, I think as it just depends on what you have. I think a lot of times you're going to have better options, and, you know, it depends on the leagues you're in, too. Like, you know, I see King of Queens here in the chat room. If you're in a league with him, you don't have to worry about it, because he owns Jackie Battle. He went and paid a little bit more than most of us would the week before Jackie Battle got hot and ended up getting a bargain all across the place. So, yeah, you know, it depends on what you have on your bench, but I think you may have better options this week.
All right, well, guys, let's move on. Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. This is a game that we see New Orleans after a bad disappointment. And then you've got Tampa Bay coming off a bye week. Though, again, it's a very nice 1 o'clock game. I like to see these 1 o'clock games. I'll be watching a lot of Tampa and New Orleans in this game. Josh Freeman, this is a question mark. He's on the road. He struggled. He's only averaged 10 fantasy points in three games on the road, even if you factor in that week 7 game in London against Chicago. So I don't know what we're going to see from Josh Freeman. We've been waiting for Mike Williams or him to step out and get out of this funk, Alex. I don't know if you own Williams anywhere, but do you think that bye week's going to help him? Do you think he can do something against New Orleans? I mean, I could see New Orleans jumping out pretty quick, and then maybe Freeman is asked to throw a little bit more.
It's pretty simple with Mike Williams. He has the most snaps of any wide receivers and the most targets of any wide receivers on that team. The day you bench him is the day he's going to, you know, put up 120 and a touchdown. So, you know, I mean, unless you picked up some really nice options on the waiver wire over the course of the year where you could play them with confidence and get 12 to 15 points, you know, nobody's benching Mike Williams. So, yeah, has he been a turd? Yes. But, you know, maybe he'll wake up. Do I know when? No.
Ducky, 42 is his number. Number 42 wide receiver, 42nd wide receiver in the NFL right now. No game over 75 yards, only one touchdown in week 1 against the blowout game in Detroit for a high-scoring affair. Is Mike Williams a guy you can bench right now for, let's say, a marginal Eric Decker or something along that lines? I mean, I'm looking for any reason to take Mike Williams out of my lineup.
You know, on all of my teams, I think I've got Mike Williams on one. I didn't draft him because I was afraid of a touchdown regression. And he was just overdrafted a little bit for my taste. I don't think anybody could have predicted he was going to just totally go Michael Clayton on us. And he pretty much has. You know, I don't think you can bench him for an Eric Decker. You know, if you picked up an Antonio Brown along the way or something like that, yes, you can. But I'll tell you, in the one league that I do own him, I'd like to bench him, but I'm looking down my bench, and I don't have a better number three option than his 7 or 8 definite points that he's going to bring with the potential of a lot more. So no, I'm not benching him for what's on my bench.
Alex, we move over to the New Orleans side of the ball. Pierre Thomas looks like a pretty good start this week with the amount of work that he and Sproles ought to kind of put together. You've got Mark Ingram is out, so, you know, Pierre probably should be moving those chains. And then you've got all these weapons for Drew Brees. He's got to be upset about his last performance. Colston looks like he's back. Graham is a beast to be reckoned with. And then I don't know what you do with Meacham and Moore, but for the most part, you've got to start these Saints. You've got to get them into your lineup.
Maybe. Frankly, from what I've seen of the Saints, unless you have let's put it this way. Graham and Sproles are the only – besides Breeze, Graham and Sproles are the only guys you could count on. I think everybody realizes that. Even Colston is up and down. I mean, he had those two big weeks. But other than that, I mean, you know, you put guys like Moore and Meacham and Thomas in your lineup – I mean, they could skunk you at any time because for some reason or another, you know, the offense will get away from them. So, you know, and no one knows when the heck is going to happen. You know, Pierre Thomas is obviously a perfect start. Seems like it's a perfect start. And watch Chris Ivory come in and get 15 carries and score a touchdown. I mean, it's just, you just never know, you know. You know, the bye week obviously allows you to put those guys in, but I don't feel confident about any of them except for those two.
And you also have you've got Robert Meacham on your primetime team. I look at that squad, and, I mean, look, everybody's looking at this squad, Alex. It's the number two team overall in primetime. And I see you have Meacham on there, and I didn't even know you had Celek. Did you get him this week? Where did Celek come from?
Yeah, I had to get a tight end because I had Olsen and Shockey. I had both of them. I could never pick up a second tight end over the course of the year, so I ended up handcuffing Olsen to Shockey. But then come week nine, you know, here I am looking for a third tight end. I ended up, you know, I figured let me bid on Celek. I barely had any money, so I bid $11 on Celek to drop Shockey. And I figured if I could get Celek or Watson, who was my second conditional pick, then I'll have a tight end. Otherwise, I was going to roll without a tight end this week and just keep Shockey and Olsen. And thankfully, I don't know, they let me get Celek for $11. And, you know, look, the guy could do nothing the rest of the year, but it looks like they're getting him involved. So anytime they're, you know, they're clearly getting him involved. I mean, the offense, the coaches are clearly putting him in the position. I mean, these are not accidental receptions that he's getting. They're not checkdowns. I mean, so we'll see what happens the rest of the year. But, you know, everybody remembers what this guy can do.
It's a good-looking squad, Alex. Darius Hayward Bay is your flex. That's always a good sign, especially with the way he's looked this year. You got Javon Best waiting to come back on the bench, and Greg Olsen as well, Kevin Walter, all these guys you could kind of throw in there. But it's a good team. We're watching it, and, man, it's nice to see you up there. Now, let's move on to the next game, San Francisco versus Washington. The Niners have looked tremendous this year. It's also a 1 o'clock game. This wraps up our 1 o'clock games. Gore, Crabtree, Vernon Davis, you got to get all in the lineup, I think. Fred Davis is the big question mark here, guys. He's a monster. But in his past three games, he has 20 catches for 269 yards and a touchdown. Man, that's just incredible numbers for this guy. It looks like he keeps getting better. If he plays, Ducky, he's got to be in the lineup, right? I mean, it's a risky situation anytime he's not practicing all week.
You know, you've got to have some pretty good options to sit him. I've actually talked with a friend of mine earlier today about that, who is going to end up sitting him. But he's got Graham and he's got Gronkowski at tight end. And he's got Fitzgerald and a couple of plays at wide receiver. So he turns out to be a sit in that case. But, yeah, he's the only startable player on the entire Redskin roster. The only one. There is not another startable player at this point on the Washington Redskin roster.
I hear you. It's bad news. Santana Moss is out. I think most people had to drop him, and you just can't wait on a player like that. But, yeah, Fred Davis is a very questionable player for me to put in the lineup. I mean, the numbers look fantastic, but I just would hate to put him out there and just because they say he's starting, and then you just get disappointed. And San Francisco is a team that could absolutely make you regret that decision, even if he does play. They're very talented on they're just the total package on the defensive side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what the news is in the verdict. This just has that bad aura on it, where if you own him and you put him on the bench, he goes off. If you put him in your lineup, he pulls one of these. I just see one side of the fence is going to get completely hammered this week, and I'm just not sure which side it's going to be. Denver versus Oakland kicks off the 4 o'clock games, fellas. This is Tim Tebow time. It looks like he started off, he was the talk of the town, he gets the win, then he really gets exposed. He played Oakland last year and had 138 passing yards and a touchdown and 78-yard rushing. And, again, I know it's a different Raider team. The Raiders have allowed 5 quarterbacks to reach at least 19 fantasy points this season. So I guess this week we'll find out what he's made of against a tough Oakland defense. And if you've got Oakland, man, you're pretty happy about using them this week. What do you think? This is a defense that Alex or Denver's an offense that have allowed defenses to just manhandle them and rack up like 14 sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I'm a big Tebow fan. I don't know. I like the guy. I like the underdog. I mean, he seems like a really great kid. So I'm going to root for him not to lose his job. I don't know. I just hate to see him go back on a bench. But, you know, the problem is with that situation, you know, Decker, I know he had a good game last week, but look what happened the week before. He had like one or two receptions on like 10 targets, and Tebow couldn't get him the ball. And I mean, that could happen again this week. So I wouldn't feel comfortable starting Decker unless you have absolutely no options whatsoever. And as far as on Oakland side, my concern, I have a major concern with Heyward Bey, as good as he's been. You know, Champ Bailey is still pretty decent, and, you know, he did a pretty good job against Calvin last week, except for that one play, where, you know, Calvin, I don't know what happened, but Calvin got like 5 steps behind him, and it was over. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that Champ is going to covered Bay pretty good, and you know I'm a little concerned. I have him on both of my good teams, and I'm not sure if I'm going to keep him in the lineup.
Carson Palmer is the X factor here on Oakland, Ducky. You don't like Alex just mentioned, Darius Heyward Bay, McFadden's out, Michael Bush in. Is if you're really hurting this week, I mean, we've been talking about guys like, you know, King of Queens mentioned Jacquez Rogers, maybe a Terrain or a Helu. You know, if the option is really bad. You know, and you're really struggling trying to understand.
No,
you're
you cannot start Tywan Jones.
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of Tywan Jones splitting the carries in practice just to make sure that he's getting out there. You would imagine that they're going to run Michael Bush into the ground and give him 30 carries, but yeah. Tywan Jones is kind of one of those little quiz type players. He can bust a long one. But so anyway, let's go back to Palmer then. You got Darius Heyward Bey. Does Palmer scare you, or does he actually make you feel a little bit better about starting DHB?
He scares me not from a talent standpoint. I think Carson Palmer still has enough talent. I still think he has enough arm strength. He scares me from the point that he's only had 2 weeks of learning the offense and 2 weeks of trying to build some type of rapport and chemistry with his receivers. And, you know, Heyward Bey has started to emerge some this season, but he's still even doing that is, you know, a wide receiver 3 flex option. There is no wide receiver that you can really count on in Oakland. You know, you don't know from week to week, game to game, if it's going to be here. DHB, now that Jacoby Ford's healthy, you know, Denarius Moore emerged for a little while. There's so many options, and nobody's that guy. I guess Heyward Bey's the closest thing to it, but you combine the fact that it's not that strong with a quarterback that doesn't know the system that well and hasn't built the chemistry, that's a little bit of a scary proposition. The guy that, you know, that you hope you have on your roster because you didn't get him off the waiver wire is Michael Bush. And you're just going to ride Michael Bush this week.
Hey, can I just add something?
Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, can I add something? This is for Cold Cracker in the chat room. I told you Denarius Moore is going to suck.
Oh, the rookies. Got to love the rookies. Tim Tebow. Why does everyone say Tim Tebow always, like Tebow is not descriptive enough? That's classic Code Cracker right there. St. Louis versus Arizona then. Let's move on. We don't know what's going on with Sam Bradford. A.J. Feely's in the lineup probably. Bradford did practice. He's just questionable with this high left ankle sprain. What do we got on the St. Louis side of the ball? You got Steven Jackson in the lineup. You look at these wide receivers. Look, Denario's out. Mark Clayton's out. He has until Wednesday, the Rams doing, to decide what they're going to do with this kid. On the other side of the ball, Kevin Cobb's out with turf toe. You're going to see John Skelton. All the Fitz owners rejoice. And Beanie Wells. Let's talk about Beanie Wells. 22 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown against Baltimore, Alex. The Rams have allowed running backs to score in every single game but one, which was week six against Green Bay. They don't really have running backs there. Pierre Thomas managed to find the end zone. What do you think about Beanie Wells? You got to put him in this lineup. It seems like a pretty good opportunity for him to rack up some points.
Yeah, you know, if you got Beanie and if he's starting, you pretty much have to roll with him. He's, you know, when he's on the field, when he's been on the field, he's been fantastic. Even last week, was it last week or the week before when against Baltimore? You know, with a bad knee, and supposedly that bad knee is going to bother him all year. But there's nothing you could do. If you own him, again, unless you have a substantially better option, you got to put him in, especially in this game.
Got to put him in. Steven Jackson looks like he's a guy to have again. That's kind of nice. Not much else to really talk about in this game, Ducky. Do you see anything we're missing here? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, you're absolutely missing something. You're missing Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a starter.
Brandon Lloyd is very, very startable. He's experiencing a bit of a rebirth, and I'm anxious to see him with Bradford rather than Feely. I think he can be a pretty good guy going forward.
So put Brandon Lloyd in line. Yeah, of course, that's a no-brainer. Arizona allows it. The sad part is the whole sad part of this whole situation in Arizona is Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he looks as good as ever. He's averaged 17.7 yards a catch, ranking third among receivers with at least 50 targets. He's caught 60% of the balls thrown his way. It's just he has not had a quarterback to get him the ball and get him into the end zone. They've got to get him into the end zone to make this guy, the owners, rejoice a little bit because it's just been one disappointing season. Alex, your game is next, the New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. I don't know what to think of this game when you've got Hakeem Nicks and Bradshaw. The two biggest names on the Giants team are out. This certainly doesn't look good for a Giants team that was really coming around, and now they've got this terribly brutal schedule in front of them that they face. Talk about this game, Alex, and what do you expect here? Eli's a stud or a dud?
What I expect is pain. That's what I expect. Because to not have Bradshaw, and I'm not sure if, you know, Knicks will have a chance or not to go. I'm sure he's going to, but he's going to try. And probably Bradshaw will try. You know, he did play with those injuries with both feet, I believe, fractured or some serious issues there. He was playing through it. He's probably the toughest guy in the NFL, Bradshaw. But they're going to get their asses handed to them. The Giants will in New England on the man. I would be shocked if that game is close. But you know what? If you got Eli, you better put him in your lineup. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. It doesn't matter if it's Cruz if it doesn't matter if it's the tight end, the backup tight end. I mean, Eli has just been on fire. So you better get him in the lineup no matter who your other options are.
The Patriots have allowed every quarterback they've faced to throw multiple touchdowns or pass for 300 yards. Manning should definitely keep that streak alive, regardless if Nix is in or out. Cruz and Manningham, they have an opportunity to succeed just like they did in Week 8 when Miami, they both had double digits in fantasy points. Their value definitely rises with Nix out. And then, I mean, I like this kid Cruz, man. It seems like every time I watch him, it's like, how did he just score off that? How did he spin off that guy? He was off balance, but he stayed up. He's got at least 98 receiving yards in four of his past five games, and the Patriots have allowed eight touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. So eight receivers have scored touchdowns against the Patriots, and I've got to like Cruz and Manningham this week. Ducky, what do you do here if you're the, you know, the New York Giants and you have Bradshaw out, you insert Jacobs automatically, but this game doesn't seem like it sets up for Jacobs. My question is, you know, if the Patriots come out and run out on you, start blowing you out, is Jacobs even on the field, number one? And I'll counter this with Alex's viewpoint, but is Jacobs even out there, or do you see this kid Ware or Darrell Scott or one of these guys? Everybody's wondering in the chat room.
You know, I don't think you see Darrell Scott. I think you could definitely see some DJ Ware, Danny Ware, whatever he's going by these days. I think there's a good chance that you may see Bradshaw. I feel a lot better about the possibility of Bradshaw playing than I do Nix. You know, when somebody talks about being smart with their injury, that's code for I ain't playing. Plain and simple. So I would be very, very surprised to see Nix in the lineup. But, you know, Eli, Cruz, Manningham, all very good starts this week on that side of the ball. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the Patriots side of the ball and all the great starts there are over there as well.
Yeah, there's really no need to. The running back situation is always a mess. Alex, did you want to finish that Giants perspective up?
Yeah, I did. I think you can scratch off Scott. Just, I mean, unless the game's out of hand, he's not seeing the field. There's just no way. He's not ready. He hasn't been on the field, and he won't be on the field in this game. Where, you know, the guy just gets, like, arm tackled all the time. He just doesn't have the strength, it seems to me, from what I've been watching, you know, from the limited time I see him on the field. Jacobs is not that bad. He's got, you know, his hands are not that good, but, you know, they really will have no choice because the two guys behind him, unfortunately, are just not that good. So if Bradshaw's out, Jacobs will be on the field. And, you know, don't be surprised if Jacobs gives you a 25-point game this week. And as far as Cruz, real quick, you know, if you watch Cruz, he reminds me a lot, maybe not necessarily in a physique. He's a little bit differently built. But he reminds me a lot of Miles Austin, where he really, you know, like spins out of those tackles and takes the hit and keeps his balance and scores a lot of those touchdowns in that matter. So he's very similar to Miles Austin, in my opinion.
And pretty much everybody on the New England side of the ball in the passing game, you have to put in your lineup. Even Deion Branch has looked better ever since Hernandez has came back. I think it's given him a little bit more single coverage. And he looks like he's at least startable. The running back situation, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I want to move on to the next game. The Packers visit San Diego. Matthews is out. It looks like Tolbert is in. So you got to start most of your Chargers. There's not a lot of you're going to bench. And on the other side, it's like, the same thing. The Packers, you're going to start them if you have them because it's Rodgers and there's tons of points to be scored. So I don't see any real perspectives out of this game that we really need to address. Do you, Ducky?
No, not really. I'm right with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably going to put Jordy in if you need a flex and you're hurting. You're going to put Jennings in there, and Finley, you have to keep starting him. And Starks, maybe if you need some receptions. I don't think you put Ryan Grant in unless it's an – I mean, not at all. You find anything. But let's move on to the big game. My notes are filled up on the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. After week one, you know, I don't know what we have, but we've got a lot of names here that are questionable. Alex – if you're in a pitch, is Ed Dixon somebody you could be okay with putting in the lineup? I mean, he's had respectable numbers, nothing to jump out at you, but Dixon, it seems like he's been an okay dynasty or a fantasy tight end.
The few games that I saw them, it seems like they're going to him quite a bit, and the guy looks incredible. I mean, he looks like a you know, great athlete. Really goes up and tries to get the ball. I mean, looks great, fantastic.
I'm not exactly sure. You know, again, there's about there's three guys there, right, between Rice and Bolden and him, and it seems like they don't really spread it out enough for all three of them to be productive in the same game. It's always like it's always two, one or two at most. So, you know, if you're happy with maybe getting seven or eight from Dixon, then if you're expecting more, you know, you might be disappointed.
Yeah, he's the number 16 tight end overall. He's sort of in that Winslow, Ben Watson, Jake Ballard, Chandler kind of range. So if you've got him, you're starting because of a bye week to somebody like Olsen or Pettigrew, somebody like that, and that's kind of a situation. I mean, he has scored double digits in FFPC scoring four games out of the seven that he's played. So four out of seven, that's not so bad. Pittsburgh, again, on the other hand, is a different story. Flacco here is out in week one with one of the biggest surprises of the season, 224-3. And, you know, you've got to look at this game as a real statement game for both teams again. Okay, let's talk about this. Ducky Mendenhall. Baltimore has allowed just two running backs to score this year. Mendenhall has three touchdowns in his past two home games against the Ravens. But this is not a real good start for Mendenhall. And what is wrong with this kid?
Well, I'm not sure what's wrong with him necessarily. Their offensive line isn't great. They've become a passing team, and he's never been that talented. I mean, keep in mind that this is a kid, and I go back to this, people that know me have heard me say this before, that, you know, he couldn't get the job away from Pierre Thomas at Illinois, and Pierre Thomas was an undrafted free agent in the NFL. You know, Mendenhall's just a very average talent, in my opinion, and I think the folks that expected big things out of him this year were expecting it as much based on scheduling as anything else. He's not somebody I'd feel very comfortable starting, although I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to the other side of the ball there. Other than Ray Rice, there's nobody on Baltimore I feel that good about, especially on the road. This team is overrated. This team is got a defense that's been playing exceptionally well, but this is a team that's lost on the road already to Tennessee, Jacksonville, and took a hell of a comeback to beat a pretty lousy Arizona team at home. I'm thinking that this is as historically close as this series has been. This game could be as lopsided in the other direction as the week one game was.
Yeah. Total disappointment for Mendenhall this year. 9 receptions, less than 4 yards a carry. Alex Antonio Brown has had 24 targets in the past two games, 7 for 102 in week 7 at Arizona, 9 for 67 and a touchdown against the Patriots. But this is Baltimore we're talking about. Is he startable in your opinion?
Oh man, you put him in, forget about it. Sanders is out. Hines Ward can run about as fast as I can. So, you know, if you got Brown, he's in your lineup probably the rest of the year. He's that good.
All right, well, that's going to be a good game on Sunday night. Let's get on finally the Monday night game, guys. We've almost made it through the lineup. 2 minutes to go. You've got Matt Forte with the Bears. You've got Michael Vick with the Eagles. Pretty much you start every Eagle you have, McCoy, Macklin, D-Jack. Selleck even is back, 11 catches and 2 touchdowns in the past two games, 18 targets overall last 2 weeks. And then on the other side of the ball, do you start Hester at all? It should be one of these kind of shootout games if Philly gets up on him, which I'm expecting, Ducky. Do you put Hester in there with all those talented corners that Philly has?
You know, it's hard to pick any Bear receiver out at all. I mean, you know, Hester or Earl Bennett, either one could be a very low end wide receiver 3, more of a wide receiver 4. You probably have better options there. It ought to be a fun game though. You're right, a lot of people on the Philly side of the ball. And Matt Forte could have a game for the ages.
All right, guys. Alex, thank you for joining us, man. Ducky, can't ask for a better partner here, man. We appreciate the love. And, Alex, continue on, man. Number two overall. Kick some ass in the primetime. That's, we're rooting for you, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ducky, we'll see you on your show. What, is it Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, we moved it to 10 o'clock.
All right, buddy. Well, take care of yourself. And good
thank
luck this
you.
Week to all the fantasy fans. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.